Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. I mean, I think the day has come, you guys.
We've made it.
I
Do
know.
Do we feel like this is real?
I felt like we were frauds for a minute because we kept promising video, but we're here. We have a studio. We have neon signs. We have decorations. We have set design. We have a real plant over there, you know, to make Jared have some depth next to
him. I've got
him.
A nice fern behind me.
Yeah, he has a nice fern. Actually are doing it. If you could see our rug, you'd be impressed. We did it.
We really did it. Again, you guys, we're hoping that these videos actually go through. I feel like it's the boy who cried wolf, but like...
The joke is over. It's no longer a joke. It's reality.
We're here. We did it. So let's do a little cheers. Congrats to us.
Cheers.
Congrats to us. I love you both more than life itself. And we love you, firsties, more than life itself.
We really...
Because we honestly couldn't do any of this without you. And you asked for it.
Alex, you're not even talking into your mic.
You asked for it. And here we are. I'm sorry. This is very typical me.
God.
Leave that in.
Yeah. So it is December 1st. It's the holiday season.
Sure.
I can't believe it's December.
My birthday's tomorrow. It's fine.
Alexis's birthday is tomorrow. We're going to have an egg off. We're all making hard-boiled eggs, different types.
That was my wish. I wanted a variety of deviled eggs. And Jared can't come, but he's sending a recipe that Jack's bringing.
I'm sending an egg by proxy.
Yes.
He is sending an egg. He already has the recipe ready to
go. Jack will be delivering my egg.
Thank you.
Yes. You know, it's what you want. It's what you need.
It's all I need. It's all I want.
Okay. So do we want to get into the day? Or do we have any house cleaning to do? Housekeeping?
No, other than Patreon is all of this, but better. So you should dial into that.
Yeah, join our Patreon.
Get connected.
That's right.
Okay, so I am so fucking excited for today.
I can't wait.
And it's something that Jared actually knows a lot about, and that is televangelism.
Why is that? Why do you know a lot about that?
I really don't know. I remember seeing televangelists on TV growing up. And when you brought this up the other day, I remember saying like, oh, what about this? What about this? And then I realized I know way more about this than I thought.
Realized.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that's just kind of like, and I got really excited too, because when you said the name that you said, I was like, oh shit, here we go.
Yeah. It's just, he was like, oh, you know, this guy that does this and this and that, and this guy that sells collodial silver and this guy that sells holy water. I'm like,
collodial
wow.
Collodial silver. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's, we'll get into collodial silver in our episode, because today is December 1st, and in December 1st of 1994, Jim Baker, who was an American televangelist and convicted fraud, was released from jail.
How do they let that man out?
I mean, he was supposed to go to jail for a very long time, and he ended up getting out very fast. Mm. But we're going to kind of get into like his whole story, because the more I dove in, the more I learned, and the crazier it fucking got.
Oh,
fascinating.
Boy.
So I'll give you a little backstory, because I didn't really know much about Jim Baker. Jared did.
I did.
He goes, the guy with the buckets? And I was like, oh.
Oh, and there's a good reason why Jared knows about this. We'll get into that.
I know about the buckets, but no, we'll get into that later.
We'll get into that, but
I know him as the bucket guy.
You know what? Right now, the teacher is the teachee. You teach me, because I know nothing about this. So both of you, lay it on me thick.
Okay, so James Orson Baker. He was an American televangelist and convicted fraudster. I said was. I mean is. He's still alive. So between 1974 and 1987, he hosted the television program The PTL Club, and they had this whole TV platform network called the PTL Satellite Network, and he had his wife, Tammy Faye, who Jared also knows a lot about.
Somehow.
Well, I know what she looks like. She's got a very distinct look.
She's got a wild vibe.
Sure.
She's got a wild vibe. They were wild together. They were wild and crazy kids.
A couple peas in a pod.
They really were. So he also developed this thing called Heritage USA, which was this Christian theme park. Have you ever heard of this?
No, but was it like a biblical roller coaster? Like, what was the context of this theme park?
I'm not sure if the rides... Did you hear about the rides themselves, if they were
Was it like a simulated christening?
This is something
crucifixion.
Crucifixion the ride.
Crucifixion the experience.
It's more than a ride, it's an experience.
They just strap you to
the
cross.
Honestly, I think that he kind of just used it, like the Christian part of it, as just like a ruse because they raised all this money for it.
Crucifixion the escape room.
Oh.
Trademark pending.
Wow. It's really an emotional
patent
escape
pending.
Room.
Patent pending.
Okay, so Heritage USA, I had never heard of it, but it was the third largest theme park in the country.
No.
Behind Disney World and Disneyland.
How?
I don't fucking know.
And we've never heard of it? Why haven't we?
It had 4.9 million visitors a year. So
holy shit.
The way that he funded this is he asked his followers to give him money, and they had contributions that exceeded over $1 million a week, with proceeds went going to the park and also to the network. I'm using air quotes, a lot of these air quotes. Yeah. So basically what happened is, like most things where people are getting donations, they didn't go to where he said that they were going. So there are two scandals that brought down Mr.
Yes, fraud.
Jimmy Boy.
Jimmy B.
He got brought down. So he was illegally misusing the money that people were giving him. So he eventually was convicted of accounting fraud, and it eventually led to his imprisonment. So he sold more than 66,000 lifetime guarantees to this theme park, right? For $1,000 each. It basically meant that every single person could go to the theme park and stay for 3 days for free every single year if they give this dude $1,000. So he ended up raising like $125 million, and not one of those ever went to anybody.
Ooh. Well, it went to him, right?
So no one ever got to go for free.
Nobody ever got to go for free.
Like, that was a complete lie.
Yeah.
And that was very sad for all those investors.
I mean,
investors.
It's the thing about these televangelists is they prey on these poor fucking people, these vulnerable communities that don't have a lot of money. And he's driving two Rolls Royces. He's living in a $5 million house in the 70s. Like, this dude is fucking living it up.
Well, no, and they know how to appeal to people, the things that are most important to them. They appeal to people's ethos. And it's like, ooh, religious and whatever cause they pretend to be behind, that person bleeds for. So they're like, you're going to rescue abandoned children. I'm going to give you my $1,000.
Exactly.
It's preying on the most helpless
people who believe in religion over all else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was really going to fund his Rolls Royces.
Sure.
So anyways, nothing ended up fucking happening. I think the theme park went on for a while and ended up going under because he ended up getting found out that he was doing all this fraud. So the other thing that brought Jim Baker down is he was accused of drugging and raping their church secretary named Jessica Hahn, and he ended up resigning because of this, as he should, and be sent to jail.
Sure.
But he ended up paying her off with $279,000 that were paid for by the funds that he raised. So
he's the worst.
He's a good guy, you know?
Dude.
What a fucking gem.
A man of the Lord.
Man makes me sick.
So he went to trial, 16-month trial. He was indicted on 8 counts of mail fraud, 15 counts of wire fraud, and 1 count of conspiracy. And the judge found him guilty on all 24 counts. He was sentenced to 45 years in federal prison, reduced to 8.
What? 45 to 8? Are you kidding me?
Reduced to 8, and then he got out after serving 5 years. And this is the funniest, most ironic thing. In 1990, a biographic television movie called Fall from Grace, starring Kevin Spacey.
What? Irony.
The irony depicted his rise and fall. And then there's also a 2020 special that we tried to watch and couldn't find it fucking anywhere.
No, yeah. For whatever reason, the one episode in the season, I couldn't find it anywhere. This one
probably because he got yanked because of some sketchy law.
don't know.
It definitely sketchy thing. It got yanked. And then so when he was released from jail, he owed the IRS $6 million. And now he's back. I mean, this guy is back and better than ever, according to himself.
Okay.
So this is a thing that happens.
Self-proclaimed back and better than ever.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, this is the thing that happens is a lot of these guys, there's you could go like Peter Popoff, we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Where, so he was discovered.
Is he the founder of Popoff?
Well, no, that'd be way cooler if he was. But no. You mean the plastic handles of vodka?
Yeah.
First, that's
him.
The first
that's
alcohol
how I remember
I
his name. I'm like Peter different guy. Piper, Peter okay. Popoff.
Selling a different liquid. So he's selling holy water to people now.
Oh.
But he basically he got found out.
But it turns out that he said it was the holy water from this Russian lake that a bunch of people drank after Chernobyl and they didn't get affected by the radiation. Sweet but it turned God. Out he was buying it at Costco.
Well, he was exposed decades ago. He was exposed for having these big conferences where he was healing people. But there was a
healing.
There was a guy who was out to like expose him, and
sure.
he recorded the RF, the radio transmission of his wife in his ear saying, "This person is so and so from this town." And so he would then go straight to that person and be like, "I'm gonna burn away your cancer. I'm gonna burn," and like, but he had his wife in his ear because people filled out prayer cards at the beginning.
She'd
of
be like, "It's Benny Johnson over there. He has a broken leg and arthritis." And he'd be like,
"And his mom is sick. So you gotta send prayers to mama."
Yeah, and insane. He'd be like, "Oh, you live on 432 Second Lane over there."
How do people not know?
No. But my point is, with these people, they get found out, they get exposed, whether they go to jail or not. They come back, and then they go to this other weird place where, like, Jim's selling his buckets, Peter's selling his holy water. It's a strange, strange
Jim
thing.
Jim was also, again, he was selling colloidal silver during COVID. He's claiming it cures COVID.
He got in trouble for that because, you know,
it's
FDA
naughty.
Was like, dude, this does, no, stop.
It's naughty.
But you know what? He's not in trouble for his buckets. And what I was going to do for True Crime Rewind is I was like, dude, the televangelism thing really fucking fascinates me.
No, but you have to tell people about the buckets.
No. So I was going to say, I was going to go into different televangelists and we could do like a mini deep dive. But I was like, no. I started watching these videos of Jim Baker that Vic Berger edited down. We love Vic Berger.
Shout out to Vic Berger.
He fucking kills it. And they were all just so crazy that I'm like, we're just going to go through some of his craziest moments and do a little react because
we have an hour and 20 minutes of this stuff and it was hard to pick. Like only
oh
like my 5 gosh. Moments.
Oh, Jared and we're watching hours of this.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, so we're going to get into that for True Crime Rewind. But until then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. You know the drill. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We're either loving it or we're hating it. And we have a healthy discussion of why this is like taking over our minds for the week, and we vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Bring it to Instagram. You vote if it's guilty or not guilty, and then that concludes our section.
I love that.
Like, how do I usually?
And then
end
that's
that?
The end of it.
And then that's I love the that. End of it. Do you want to go first?
I have one. I don't have to go first.
Go ahead.
You all.
You have to go
one.
First now.
Okay, I have to go first. So yesterday I went sailing with my family.
Uh-huh.
And this particular marina in San Diego, they've got a deli. Ooh. There. Right there in front of the boats. And it's a counter where you can go and literally order any sandwich you want. You pick your meat, you pick your cheese, you pick your veggies, you pick your fixins, you pick your bread. Like a classic, like New York style deli.
Yeah.
And I just don't know why there aren't more of those.
Mm.
Because like, I don't want a Mendocino Farms chosen sandwich. I really don't. I want like what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want a deli, and then you can buy chips and liquor there. I'm like, everything I need is here. Yeah. Everything. So I'm just going to, I'm defending delis.
Okay.
In the traditional sense. Like, I know there's a deli at your Vons or Pavilions or Ralph's or King Cullen if you're from New York or whatever the hell.
So you're just saying you want a deli it's there is a
to
a
make
deli.
Me a custom sandwich.
Okay. We're and not talking about like a Jersey Mike's. We're talking
no,
about like
I want no. a deli.
You want the marquee sign. You know the really yes. shitty with the lettering and
yes.
the yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I want
mom and pop deli.
I want a deli where they have like the little cutter machine and they're making me whatever I want. And they've probably got their grandma's like meatballs in the clear cabinet and like some egg salad
yeah.
or some tuna. Like, I just want a really good deli on every corner.
Just like Meemaw used to make, you know?
Meemaw's like tuna Meemaw. Salad.
God, you know what? We had sandwiches today. And you know what they had there? a turkey or not turkey, a tuna sandwich.
And
I
they're
was like,
good.
I was so close. I was so close to getting it. That should be going on the stand.
We were hyping up turkey all week. It was going up to for Thanksgiving.
Tuna or
turkey? Like, or sorry, tuna.
Yeah.
We're hyping up tuna all week. We're like, dude, a canned tuna with a cracker.
No, we're going to go through that because I'm going to put tuna sandwiches on the stand because I need to talk about it. But
delis are, I think,
excellent.
A cornerstone of the melting pot that is the United States of
America. They are. But they're not in every neighborhood. They're not. It's kind
of. They need to be.
It's kind of more where there's a lot of construction. Like they want. It's for like a grab and go, like sailors. Like, you know, you're going to grab something and go.
Well, they're just not really in suburbia.
I want them everywhere. I need one in every corner. I would eat nothing else.
Can you imagine every corner
had a deli?
Oh,
or I could get a customized turkey sandwich, which is always what I want.
We went to that really cute deli. I think it was called Hello Deli in New York City, and we got our little sandwich, and we went to the Central Park.
And you could customize it?
Of course. I mean, it was right next to the late. I think it was the Late Show.
Yeah,
that they had like.
Oh my god! And they were so nice.
They're so nice.
Oh, nice deli.
Yeah, but
it helps if you're a nice deli.
Listen, I agree. I just think I think when it comes to like suburbia, they don't really have them because it's a lot more chains. I think it's more of a city thing.
So, like, we'd rather put a PF Chang's here.
People are like, which is also good.
I've heard that name, and I trust that name.
Yeah,
you know, but.
Or Chipotle.
Listen, the real ones know. When you see that shitty sign where you have to put the letters on it yourself, I don't know what they call that. When you see
cold cuts.
Oh, it's going to be delicious.
No, it's true. We have Larchmont. That's what we have here in like the Hollywood area.
And you know what's a good thing to know is that Larchmont always has everything except they're like, our tuna salad is sought after. And if you're late, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
First come, first serve.
Love a limited food item like that.
Food drop.
Barbecue
food
places.
Drop.
Do that.
Food drop.
But anyways.
Anyways, we're gonna go not guilty on the delis.
Not guilty.
Jack,
now,
you next.
I was so inspired. I don't know why we haven't thought to put this on the stand before. I'm putting tuna on the stand.
Yes.
Tuna.
I'm not talking about ahi. I'm not talking about a sashimi. I am talking about canned
tuna.
Cooked. I think it's cooked tuna.
Whatever it is, it's in a can.
It is cooked.
Whatever it is.
They put it in a can with either water or oil.
Chicken of the sea. I'm putting on the
stand. Chicken of the sea.
Jessica Simpson, I'm here with you. I love tuna so much. And I get why tuna gets a bad rap because it's kind of stinky, I guess.
Amazing.
It was definitely something that we got made fun of when we were in school a bunch. Like whoever brought tuna to school.
I was afraid of doing it, but I loved it.
I wasn't made fun of.
Did you bring tuna to school?
All the time.
Really?
Tuna is something my mom made so much. I love tuna. I love a tuna melt, which is blasphemous.
Ugh.
It's because it's not practical, but like I fucking love it. It's because it's the same way I love deviled eggs and I love egg salad. And some people are like, ew, my boyfriend's a vegan. I bring egg salad home and he's like, oh, that's the worst thing I can imagine. I'm like, this is only trumped by tuna. Like, this is the best thing I can ever think of except for a really good tuna salad.
Yeah.
And that's why Larchmont, they're like, sorry, we ran out of tuna really early. Everyone's there trying to get it faster than anything else.
Is it because they don't want anyone to see them getting it, so they go early and they want to get in and out of there?
Everyone's afraid to be...
Yeah, like they're embarrassed. They're embarrassed that they're getting the tuna sandwich.
Why not? It's the best.
You turn your back to everyone.
You know
cool.
what? I would be really down to like spearhead the tuna movement because tuna got a bad name.
Tuna got a bad
and
name.
I am here to give tuna a second chance.
I agree.
I love tuna.
Me too.
There's so many different ways to prepare tuna. Tuna
casserole
on a saltine with
saltine.
A pickle.
Say less.
Pickle. That is just life's. That's it's the simple things
it's
in
nostalgia.
Life.
I think our age group particularly. I don't think like Gen Z got tuna the way we did.
I think I know what it is.
We had parents who were boomers who ate shit out of cans.
Straight up.
It is. It's true. It's like the boomer middle class.
Snacks.
Do you think it's because tuna is sometimes adjacent to mayonnaise and that's a very divisive item? Like
that's only divisive with the people you know.
I think it is.
Everyone loves mayonnaise.
Everybody loves mayonnaise.
And the people who
oh boy,
say they
I can't wait to read the comments.
The people who say they don't even know what they're eating has mayonnaise in it.
Mm.
I'm telling you, everything has mayonnaise in it.
Mayonnaise just oil and eggs and
it's
lemon?
Just delicious fat for your enjoyment.
As a mayo man, I'm going to say I think people are going to be pretty riled up about this.
They're going to love it.
Okay, we're back to tuna. You know what?
Not guilty.
I need a tuna sponsorship.
Chicken of the sea.
What's up?
Here
Star-kissed.
We are.
Star-kissed fucking hit me up. I'm down to like be the face of the movement because I feel like
can I get in on this?
Tuna Tuna is the official snack of the first degree.
Yes.
Ooh.
Tuna is the official snack of the first.
And we're going to have a bowl of tuna degree with a crudité around it. Some celery, some crackles. We're going to put like, we're going to have like bowls of tuna around and we're going to just eat that shit.
I love that.
I love it.
I love the idea of just sitting
and
here
egg
talking.
Egg salad too. So you egg farmers, we're also here for you.
Tuna and eggs. And, we're coming for you.
And mayo. Oh. Miracle Whip.
I'm into it. I love it.
We'll take a vegan one. It all tastes the same.
Okay.
That's what we do.
Tuna, not guilty.
Not guilty.
So good.
In fact, promoted.
Promoted. Jared?
Okay, today I'm going to take a wild turn from this.
Wow.
Today I'm putting on the stand bumper stickers.
I love this.
The reason I'm doing this is because I like to lay low. Like, I don't like people, I don't like to be in the spotlight.
Are you sure?
I don't know why.
Because you're in a
band.
You're a rock star.
You're in the spotlight professionally.
Come to a show. And you'll see.
Yeah, no, he's not.
I find where the spotlight is not at, and then I kind of creep over to that spot.
I know, Jared. You're kind of like a closeted, like, sort of.
Like attention seeker?
No, cultural cornerstone.
Wow.
Oh, I don't even know what that means.
You like that?
Wow, yeah. Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome.
Anyways, as someone who doesn't like attention, I look at the bumper sticker culture. Okay, this all started because I was on Reddit the other night and someone was like, what's something that Americans do that other cultures just don't understand? And the, one of the top comments was bumper stickers. And I was like, that's an interesting thought because some people have really divisive bumper stickers.
Sure.
Like, things designed to incite rage from other people.
They're like Twitter quips on a bumper.
Yeah. And if you think about it, you're putting this on an object that cost you a lot of money that you are not near a majority of the time. You're not around your vehicle. So you're putting a thing on it that's going to incite depends on what it is.
It's definitely people broadcasting their most controversial opinions on bumper stickers.
Where it's like, ooh, let me put a Darwin fish with legs on it.
It's wild.
Or a Darwin fish with a cross on it. Yep. Let's see if I can fuck with people.
Yep. And there even people trying to be positive, there are people that could that have differing viewpoints than that. And so you're opening up yourself. You're opening up yourself to.
I was like, come and get my guns.
Yeah. Come and take them.
Come and take them. Tread on me with this rattle. Yeah. Step on this rattlesnake. Yeah.
So anyways, I'm putting on the stand because I feel like
there's nobody that's like, I feel really mildly about things.
Yeah.
And then you just slap it on your car.
Yeah. Like a bumper sticker that just says, do whatever you want.
There isn't a passive or my child is a like A plus student at so-and-so. I'm like, you're saying that because your other child isn't. And you're trying to make your other child be motivated. There's for a reason. Either your neighbor's kid who you're competitive with is a loser and you're trying to make them feel bad. Like, no, it's, you know what? It's, you're living way too fucking vicariously through your kid
and bumper sticker.
And it's like, go get a fucking hobby.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. Got him.
Why don't you sell bumper stickers on Etsy instead? You know, like, go create your own.
There's definitely a demand.
There is. You know what? Go Google the most controversial opinions you can have in life and start making some bumper stickers.
I can't get with it because I, as someone who doesn't want to be messed with ever, and I just want to be left alone. Like,
oh, I want.
I can't. You guys, it doesn't compute with me.
You know, the one and only bumper sticker I had is one I made myself, and it was for Bernie Sanders.
A homemade Bernie bumper sticker,
and it really made me sad.
What was it?
I said Bernie. What was it? It was like. Something about the world ending and then about Bernie is the only one that can save us or something, which I still agree. And, you know, he got really fucked and that's where I stopped believing in humanity. And now I have this residue from where my Bernie sticker was on my car. And it's really sad because it reminded me.
Just a little goo gone. We'll get that right off. And I have some.
I like to remember.
No, I know. Could have been. You don't like residue.
It's like what the DNC did to Bernie. Just a little bit of goo gone. Like, get
out
of here.
Out you go.
Yeah. I was like, I won't forget it. I won't forget what the DNC did to you.
Get out of here.
Anyways.
Fucking guilty bumper stickers. Get them out of here.
Get them out of here. Bye. All right. Do we have an on the stand from our listener that we'd like to listen to?
We sure do.
Oh boy.
Let's do it.
This is my holiday on the stand. I am fully prosecuting to the full extent of the law eggnog. It is nasty. It is disgusting. It is a thick, textured, creamy, nasty, spicy liquid that I just do not understand how it is so popular in American culture. I don't want it near me. I don't want to see other people drink it. I think that even if someone takes a sip and then you see like the remnants on the side of the glass of just this thick film of this substance, it's just not for me. And I am prosecuting eggnog. Happy holidays.
I picked you for a reason, my friend. I love eggnog, but I want to explain why.
Okay.
The floor is yours.
So it's a versatile beverage. There's a vegan eggnog. There's a fully full milk fat eggnog. Yeah. There's, you know, non-alcoholic eggnog and alcoholic eggnog. You can do it with brandy or rum. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, eggnog, you didn't actually say why you hated it. And I'm concerned that you maybe haven't tried it. But like, if you've never had a White Russian, if you're like a Big Lebowski fan, like I'm telling you, there's something really like comfort foody about like a milkshakey tasting drink.
Yeah.
And that's what eggnog is. It's thiok. And it's like...
it's a thiok drink.
It's thiok. And like, you need to give it a chance. And if you haven't been raised with it, right, like some weird indulgent, it's kind of like some people do hot cocoa and some people do cider and some families do nog. But like nog is good.
Listen, I get why it's controversial.
Why?
I mean, it's
Theok.
I think that what
it's
she definitely doesn't. She was describing like her visual disgust for eggnog.
Sure.
She's
and
like,
that's
remnants on the glass. And she's like, and it's thick. Like,
no, the dairy of it is gross, but vegan eggnog's different.
I also don't like a thick alcoholic drink. I like a sip of your eggnog whenever you do it. I'm not going to drink a whole eggnog myself. I don't hate it enough to put it on the stand because I do enjoy the flavors, but it's definitely just not something that I feel like we as a people collectively can agree on. So I get it. It's like, it's the mayonnaise of Christmas.
What?
The, eggnog, the mayonnaise of Christmas.
Or it's the leg washing of Christmas. The it's leg the, washing of Christmas beverages.
Oh my God.
It's a mayonnaise based spirit.
Oh my God.
Eggnog is.
What do you think, Jared? Because this is important. And eggnog sponsors out there, we're here and we're into it.
The first degree loves eggnog, tuna
eggs.
And eggs.
McDonald's egg salad.
All right. So I think I can't really weigh in on this because I don't think I've had much eggnog in my life. We never did it as a family.
We are taste testing eggnog.
And you're going to have a shirt that says give eggnog a chance.
Yeah. And I'm going to be dressed like an egg.
Yep. She's just in a big egg costume.
Dude, it'll be eggnog and deviled eggs this whole episode.
God. Wait, we should drink eggnog on your birthday.
100%.
With deviled eggs.
Yes.
I love that.
I'm in. Oh, wait. I won't be there.
A little salty, a little sweet.
That's just like me.
That sounds so gross, but I'm into it.
Give me an egg and give me some nog and we'll call it a day.
I'm neutral on this one. I'm not.
But if you were to imagine it, are you disgusted or enlightened?
Do I want to chew my drink? No.
No, there's no
chewy
chunks in it.
I know, but it's just thick.
But you like horchata. It's kind of like horchata.
I do love horchata.
But you also like Guinness.
I'm back in. Oh my God.
Eggnog for everyone.
I'm back in.
And he's
not
back.
Eggnog not guilty.
Yeah, you were like, yes.
Wow.
Eggnog not guilty.
You said Guinness and horchata.
Because horchata is delicious.
Let's go.
Horchata is very horchata-esque.
I love this.
Alcoholic horchata. Eggnog.
Holy shit.
And then like a heavy whipping cream in there.
Our dearest firstie who hates eggnog, I love you, and I will invite you to Los Angeles to drink it with me, and I'll show you the way.
That's right.
But you're not wrong, but you're wrong to me.
I understand your concern.
Concern.
Yes.
But guilty. Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Woo!
Okay, well, when we come back, it is time for some true crime Jim Baker Rewind. Hello, it is me, Jack, you know, the queen of thoughtful gift giving. And if you're struggling what to give your loved one, especially your parents or your grandparents, Storyworth is going to have you covered. So every week, Storyworth will email your loved one a life-related question that you can pick from their collection. Like an example is like, what is the bravest thing you've ever done? And all they have to do is reply with a story. And then after a year, Storyworth compiles everything into an exquisite hardcover book. And the whole process is really, really simple. people for them. I love it so much because not only is it a gift, it's interactive, and you can have these stories for the rest of your life. So you can get started with your loved one for the holidays, and before you know it, you'll both be cherishing those timeless stories for generations to come. Help your family share the story of this holiday season with StoryWorth. Go to StoryWorth.com/firstdegree today and save $10 off your first purchase. That's StoryWorth.com/firstdegree to save $10. StoryWorth.com/firstdegree.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era, somebody out there wants what you don't. And the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on TheRealReal.com using code FIRST. That's TheRealReal.com using the code FIRST.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
All right, welcome back to True Crime Rewind. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with Jim Baker. Like I said,
I can't wait.
Vic Berger put together this whole compilation of all of his best moments, and then he kind of edited them to be even worse.
So he kind of
wait. So who is Vic Baker?
So Vic Berger is
Vic Baker.
The candlestick maker,
like Victor Hamburger, right?
Vic Berger.
Vic Berger is. I believe he was an editor for the Tim and Eric show.
Tim and Eric Awesome Show?
I believe so. I would fact check that, but he's in that circle. And he basically takes videos and he spoofs them.
And like and zooms into their fingers doing weird things.
Yes.
And them going like,
I love that.
So you need to remember that part of this, I mean, yes, he's spoofing Jim Baker.
But
he's not doing it. He's all the audio that you're hearing, everything that they're saying.
He does like ASMR.
He'll repeat what they're saying. He'll like have them repeat stuff, but this is all real shit that they've done or said.
I love shit like that. Yeah. And I love people who do shit like that.
So to prep everybody with what we're going to hear and see today, so Jim Baker, once he came back from prison for the fraud and rape charges, he decided to start selling prepping supplies for the end of times.
In buckets.
They all come in these massive 24-gallon...
Huge
buckets.
Does it have like a...
They're literally like the buckets you get at Home Depot. They're like shitty plastic buckets.
But inside, like... We should buy one and do an unboxing video.
No, somebody... Know what we should do? As I saw somebody doing it on YouTube as a taste test of his food.
Powdered eggs?
Yes.
Yes.
Because they look so... Like, that should... We should definitely do that
on
YouTube.
It's astronaut food, and I'm down.
Yeah.
As you're about to find out, these buckets are multi-purpose.
They're multi-purpose.
And Jared has some, so we're going to get to that soon.
I've got my buckets.
Okay, so the first one is Jim... This is kind of like an intro to his buckets. So.
Wait, to be more clear, he makes... prepper buckets for the end of the times
or for the rapture, but it's for the rapture. People think it's for the rapture,
but like that's sort of the vibe. I don't
they're
know
not for like a Super Bowl party
they're not.
No, it's for you to put in your basement in case
the world ends,
the devil comes from
which
the
is crazy because why would you survive if the world ended?
We should do
what
a Super Bowl bucket party.
Yes.
Everybody buys one different bucket, Jim Baker bucket.
And we do a, we get in my bunker and we just crack them all open and go nuts.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to go into the little bit of an intro to the buckets, right?
Can't wait. I want to hear all about it.
The collapse is coming. Doomsday clock for global market crash strikes 1 minute to midnight. You hear that, John?
Bible says you're going to throw gold and silver in the streets.
Tomorrow, we could look back and say yesterday was the last day to order and get prepared.
This offer comes with 22 buckets, plus a bonus of 6 additional buckets for a total of 28 buckets.
I want to show you something. All this food is for a gift of $2,500. 8 years of bulk food. This is what you should be doing.
Wow.
John, you come up. You're the rice preacher. You told me to do this. They got shovels. By the way, get a shovel. These are foldable shovels. It'll go in your backpack. This is how you dig the latrine. We made up. They've been cooking during the show.
Wow.
And this rice is hot. Woo, just me.
Yes, it just came out.
Oh, I mean, they just cooked this rice, you know. I'm hungry. I've been on this show for about 5 hours right now. I shouldn't put my hands in them. I love you, man. I love you, too.
Okay.
So, he has a bucket. It has dehydrated food or powdered food in it.
Rice and eggs and, like, whatever.
And it also comes with a shovel, or you can buy a shovel extra possibly to then scoop out the liquid.
The latrine.
Or also you can use it to dig a toilet or a latrine.
Which is what?
What's a latrine?
Bathroom. You can use a shovel to dig a latrine.
Yeah,
that's
latrine
the first
is like,
thing
it's like a
said.
Toilet or a bathroom.
So it's a multi-use shovel that you use for your food and then
and
also
the
your
bathroom.
Shit. Yeah, so we love that. And then also, if you're just listening to the audio version of this, he goes and he just, so they're cooking all of this, the rice and
the
these
slop.
In the bucket. They're keeping it in the buckets.
Yeah.
They're cooking it all as one because obviously.
In the bucket.
Because you need it all.
Oh, if you put like hot water in it, it turns into its own little soup.
Yeah. This part I have not
it
really looked
like
into.
It seems like that's what they did. But anyways, he's sticking his fucking dirty ass fingers
into this bucket and like
shoving
himself like a little piglet.
Oh.
Just shoveling wet food into his mouth that was made into this bucket, which is like a cauldron of filth.
Can you imagine? And he goes, this will be the last you 8 years. Imagine if you had to go. I mean, I know it's like if say the world ended, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would it not just be better to be dead?
I'd like. I mean, it depends.
You want to eat like slop out of a bucket for 8 years underground?
It's basically living back in the.
If I can create a stronghold somewhere, I'd like to live. And if I can be
if I can be
a queen of a land, I'll do that.
I can see you with the stronghold.
If I'm bottom rung, I'm dead.
But
I'm
if
out.
You had to only survive on Jim Baker's buckets with one shovel that you have to use for your latrine and your rice goop, would you do it?
Yeah, like a challenge.
Yeah, fuck yeah, that's the right
You're
answer.
You're not gonna take me out without a real fight, man.
What else do you have for us?
I like a good time.
One of the things we've done around here, we stick them under coffee tables and end tables. You just stack them up and then put a cloth over them.
Yeah.
Or get a piece of cardboard or a piece of plywood, mm-hmm. and you make a top, and then you just stack this food. You could have your whole living room with end tables and coffee tables made out of food buckets.
So
basically he's telling you that you can use the buckets as
an end table,
as
furniture.
Legs for
yes, the buckets are now furniture. I said, they're multi-purpose.
Well, I think for them, their biggest challenge from a marketing standpoint was, where the fuck are we going to put these? Insulate your home with them.
So now we have...
Honestly, it would probably be... That rice would probably be pretty good insulation.
So now we have a bucket that can hold food. It can also be furniture.
And
we
your
have
latrine.
A shovel that can scoop food out or dig
be
a
latrine.
Hole for a toilet.
Now, you just wait for the next use of the bucket.
Uh-oh. Wow.
This would be a great Christmas present for somebody because put a big bow on it, you know,
in a time of
emergency,
personally.
This is going to be one of the most sought after items that you're going to wish you had.
Yeah.
And everybody who has storage of food, you ought to have.
That's right.
One of our little porta buckets.
Listen, give me my bucket. Let me go be rest in peace and have fun.
So now the bucket can be used as a toilet.
The bucket is now a toilet.
It's a food receptacle and also a toilet.
Well, it's a food container.
And
now it is a
toilet. Once you've done using it for food purposes.
I mean, or you go back and forth, you know?
But let's not forget, this now delegitimizes the shovel.
Wait, but I don't understand in what world we would find out, run out of places to go to the bathroom. Like, aren't there plenty? Wouldn't you rather just go not in your food handling container? Like, can't you just go in a different bucket? Like, that's for use for the janitorial things. Like, can't you have a janitor bucket?
I'm going to throw him the smallest bone here.
No.
Is what?
And I would guess that they're selling these separately.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, it did kind of look like it was just a different kind of a top that they were selling.
So is the idea that you eat the food and then you take the lid and then you now convert your ex-food container into a toilet?
The idea is that there are several buckets that you can buy.
For several reasons.
And several, like, extension packs. Like, here's your toilet lid pack.
Also, how do we get here?
I know.
This guy was preaching.
And is there an apocalypse coming we don't know about?
Well, listen, each of them have to have their thing. Like, some people have holy water from Costco. Jim Baker has his buckets.
Silver.
Get them Baker buckets. Okay, keep it rolling.
On to the next, use for the bucket.
Yes.
This here,
it's the Spread the Word
is
Bible
this
bucket.
This great, big, huge bucket. Wow. Inside of here is 24 Bibles. 24 Bibles in this bucket.
I think it'd be a fantastic idea, really, to honestly bury a bucket of the Bibles.
So now,
keep in mind, this is all real. Like, this is real. Now the bucket is used to store 24 Bibles, and you could bury them if you so choose.
But why? Why are Bibles at risk? Like, that's my question. Are they in danger? Like, is someone going around hurting all the Bibles? Do they need a safe haven? Because, that is some people's book, and I respect it.
All good.
And there's a lot of history. But, like, is there a threat to them? Because otherwise, why do we need to use these buckets? Otherwise, why wouldn't you just store them in, like, a book safety, acid-free environment? Like, store your Bible some other way.
I feel like in his mind, there's definitely some special properties to the buckets that they could be protecting the Bible in a certain way.
Right.
Like, from
Bibles.
The devil who's in the earth? Like, what is the rationale?
You're putting your Bibles closer to the devil by burying
them. Yeah, put them close to the devil.
Should
tempt
be above
the devil,
ground.
But then slap his little hand away.
They got to be putting Bibles up in trees, you know?
Yeah.
Give them back to the earth where
or
they came from.
Or maybe they think if you bury enough Bibles, it will
sprout
thwart
the devil.
The demons
I'm
and the devils.
I'm just fascinated by this, like, let's protect the Bibles with the same receptacle that we go to the bathroom in and store food in.
And
I
have
was
our
not kidding. It's
mushy,
multi-purpose.
Mushy nacho cheese. There is a clip from this that they have a fiesta flavor or something.
Mm-hmm.
Fiesta-flavored bucket?
Yes, but the way they're presenting it was far too racist to
Fiesta flavored Bible?
We couldn't even take it there.
No,
we were like, we won't even include this.
No.
But you could go find it if you really care.
Yeah, you can find
it.
Google
fucking
it.
Nuts.
I mean, he's fucking insane. Okay, so there are two there's one last clip, and that is,
I think we need to do it. This is some good shit.
That is the End of Times song that they
you're gonna love
this. Here we go.
Oh, I've got powdered food for a stormy day.
Wow.
Beets and spinach and blueberry and strawberries. Filtered water from Seychelles to take the poisons away. I like that too much. I guess you'd say, Jim and Lori, help me be prepared today for end times. All these end times, end times. Ooh.
Wow. I love
it. End times.
Holy shit, holy shit, holy shit.
It really just, I kind of started listening to the song and I was like, oh, this is okay. And then I was like, it got better and better. And then I was like, end times.
The guy's got bars and he's got hooks too.
And he is also wearing a tropical Hawaiian shirt while he was singing that song.
Beautiful,
which I really
man.
I mean, the attention to detail.
Just so we should explain. This
man has charisma where he got up and he was sauntering around.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Oh, and this wasn't Jim Baker singing this song.
Yeah,
this
for anyone listening, this was a special guest of the show. It was a man in a Hawaiian shirt who comes out of fucking nowhere.
I could never do something with that much confidence.
Yeah.
If I was singing about, I mean, probably anything, but if I was singing about that, like,
but you know,
he has,
that's where the belief is.
Well, they really believe in themselves, which is baffling.
Yeah. Because who believes in themselves? You know, not me.
Nope.
Not me.
And I don't even try to tout off some conspiracy theory shit. Then I don't believe
that
in
you
myself.
Know it's not true.
Right.
Well, they know it. They think
but
it's
I don't
true.
Even try to make facts believable because I'm skeptical of my own anything.
Well, I've got to say, Jim Baker did some pretty fucking bad things and is continuing to do some bad things.
He's out there right now.
But guys, he is right like now. Making the greatest hits from a comedy perspective. I'm not even mad about it because I am amused.
I've never been more
entertained. This is why we're thankful for people like
thank
Vic Berger.
Thank you, Jim Baker.
Thank you, Vic Berger.
Thank you,
whatever.
Vic Berger, for digging up this gold and turning it into...
Whoever facilitated this content.
Yeah, it was incredible.
It's hysterical.
When we come back, we are going to hear the terrible things that you people have done.
Yeah, you naughty bitches.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hey, naughty ladies and boys. We're here to remind everyone how bad everyone is so we don't feel bad about ourselves. And also, none of you are bad. So we're just here to put it in perspective.
Some of you are probably bad.
Some of you are bad.
Well, you're all naughty.
Listen, there's Jim Bakers out there.
It's fine.
Hi, I'm calling with the worst thing that I've ever done. And it's actually something that I didn't do. And it'll make sense when I tell the story. And I swore that I would never, ever tell anyone this story. I've told one other person, and that's my husband, and he agreed that it was really, really bad. So I witnessed elder abuse, and I did nothing. I sat there and watched it happen and did nothing, and it was in a car. And the old lady was actually opening the car door to get out, and the person was, like, shutting the door and hitting her, and that is the worst thing that I've ever done was not get the license plate number or follow the car, call 911, something. It was really bad. And my heart is pounding right now. That is literally the worst thing that I've ever done was do nothing at all.
Hey, so we usually pick more lighthearted ones. And yeah. I can tell you're really beating yourself up over this experience. Listen, I have a lot of those in my past where I'm like, hey, I saw something and I could have done something. And I think as women, as people in general, depending on what your position in society is, I think you always get very paranoid that you're going to interfere in something that you don't understand, or you're going to interfere in something where it's totally valid that they're being treated that way. Maybe they're, you know, my point is that you shouldn't feel bad. If you know you saw something, in hindsight, which is when we most often see the truth, you know, A, forgive yourself, and B, do whatever you can to reconcile it from there. Like, if there's someone you can call, a police department, like, make note of it wherever. If in hindsight, it really is that disturbing. The problem is with interactions like this and things we see, sometimes it's valid. You know, I've had a very difficult time with my grandparents. They had dementia and they were difficult, right? Like, maybe trying to control them is perceived as elder abuse. Like, it's a very confusing situation to know whether or not you're witnessing abuse or dispute between families, or dispute where it's like we're trying to control an older person who's in distress, you know. I don't think you should be mad at yourself, period. B, be next time, always call, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
even if it's nothing.
Obviously, you feel so bad about this. So you're not a bad person.
You're a good person.
Yeah. Like, so this is like eating you up inside. You can tell, like, with you, like, you're hurt. Your voice is shaking when you're trying to tell us the story. So obviously, like, it's affecting you. I think also, you know, the way that we react to shocking situations like that is so different. Like, you might have been in shock kind of watching it.
Yeah.
And depending on what you have experienced in your past, if you have any trauma, like, it could have affected you in so many different ways that because you didn't jump at the second and follow them and write their license plate down and take a video, like, don't beat yourself up for that, because there's so many reasons why you might have not reacted in the way that you wished you would have.
Well, also, any law enforcement person would have told you not to get involved. They would have told you not to be like a vigilante about it, not to interfere, because people who are harming people are dangerous.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's not much you could have done, you know?
Well, and I think it's like, you know, now you have this in your mind that if something similar like this happens to you again, like, you'll be like, oh, I need to get the license plate at least. Like, definitely something like that.
Just so it doesn't haunt you, right?
Well, like, and you're telling the story, and people are hearing your story, and people are now thinking about it. Because when these things happen to you, when something sudden and shocking happens in your day, you're not used to that.
No, right.
Your brain doesn't process it in real time. Things go into slow motion. You act differently. So it's good that you're at least telling your story, because I think people, at least even just hearing about this, would hopefully remember this scenario and think to at least, you know, make that phone call or have some sort of line of clarity through a situation that could be sudden.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Absolutely. And the fact that you're reflecting on it in such a considerate way means a lot. And, you know, do not beat yourself up.
Yeah, you're a good person.
You're doing your best. And it's also really scary when you see someone experiencing harm, like intercepting and involving yourself is also a huge risk. So we highly recommend that you don't. So even more so, you did the right thing. Next time, just, you know, call the police and make a note of it just in case. But
yeah,
she could be perfectly fine. You never know what would happen.
Well, thank you for calling.
That definitely,
I mean, obviously.
Listen, we try to keep it lighthearted, but I think that was a really important one.
I do too.
Yeah.
So we are going to end this episode. If you didn't prepare something, Lex, there is a great, great clip from Jim Baker we can leave you all with.
Let's do Jim Baker. Or I could try to freestyle, but Jim Baker sounds better.
Do you want to freestyle?
No. I mean, I can.
No, I like the hollow offer, though.
No.
Like, yeah, I could, but I don't want to.
I mean, I will.
Do you want?
Wait, what is I just need a subject. We need to do, like, we need to do it rap freestyle, where you're
buckets.
Like.
Buckets.
Buckets.
My name's George Costanza, and I love buckets. And I'm mad I've never been invited to Nantucket.
Okay.
When people are mad at me, I tell them to suck it.
Yes.
Because I'm George Costanza. And
I just say fuck it.
I just say fuck it.
Boom.
That's
it. You only need 4 bars.
Woo. You only need 4.
And those 4 bars were fire.
That's right.
I'm proud of you, Lex.
Wow, love it.
Thanks, guys. Well,
we're still going to.
That was a tag team moment.
We're
love
still going to sign off with this Jim Baker. Bye bye.
Yeah, you're getting both.
It's got nice flavor to it.
Bye-bye.
We love you.
God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you.
Bye-bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.